Renfield. We'll miss you. May God bless you and keep you close to his bosom, and may you find rest and all the peace you deserve. I took a flask from my inside jacket pocket and twisted the top off. I poured the clear liquid in a continuous path around the grave, making an unbroken line around the perimeter of Ren's resting place. Pater Noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniet regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. With a tiny flash of brilliant white light, I poured my will into the blessing, offering protection for Ren's remains and hopefully securing his soul from being dragged out of heaven and used against us. The grave was empty, just a coffin with a light sprinkling of his ashes within, but even those tenuous bonds can sometimes be enough to conjure a shade. The blessing would hopefully keep that from happening and ensure my friend remained in the paradise he deserved. Amen, Rebecca, Gloria, and Adam said in unison. Luke didn't say anything, just stood off to one side watching the ceremony. I knelt on the ground and whispered, "Goodbye, old friend. May you find peace and comfort." I walked over to where the others stood, heads bowed and voices muffled. "Don't forget your phone," Detective Rebecca Gale Flynn reminded me. I nodded my thanks and retrieved it from the headstone, ending the song and slipping the cell into the pocket of my jeans. We certainly weren't the most formal grouping to ever host a funeral, but when you're burying people by moonlight, the dress code gets a little more flexible. Adam extended his hand as I walked up again.
"That was well spoken, Quincy. If I could die, I would ask that you perform my funeral."
"Well, old buddy, if we ever find anything that can kill you, it'll probably take me out too, so I think I'm off the hook," I replied. A grin split his scarred visage, and he said,
"That's probably true, Harker. That's probably true. Now I must take my leave. There are things I need to see before I begin my hunt, and none of them are in North Carolina. We will speak soon."
The giant man nodded to the women, patted me on the shoulder, and walked over to where Luke stood alone. "That is a very odd individual," Flynn said. "Bex, you don't even know the half of it," I agreed. "I'm good with that," she continued. She looked at the grave and sighed. "What's Luke going to do?"
"Hire a new Renfield, I suppose. This isn't the first time we've had one die suddenly or depart unexpectedly. Luke keeps a file of qualified replacements around, and it's usually at least marginally current."
"I hope so," Glory said. "I'm not looking forward to having to wash Dracula's socks." She grinned when she said it, but I knew that living in the mundane world without her divine powers was really worrying her.
"It's okay, G," I said, trying to be encouraging. "We'll get your wings back. I mean, come on. We just stopped a demon attack in Atlanta and kept the world from coming to an end. How hard could this shit be?"
"How hard could it be to track down the most powerful of the heavenly host, awaken them from their earth-induced slumber, and convince them to find God himself and put him back on the golden throne? Now, we should have this taken care of by lunch, no problem. Then this afternoon, we're going to fix global warming and make David Letterman funny again."
"I don't think we need to be asking for miracles, Glory. Letterman hasn't been funny in a long time," I said.
"You know what I mean."
She folded her arms across her chest and scowled at me.
"Yeah, I know what you mean, but come on, Glory. We do the difficult in no time flat. Impossible takes a little longer."
"Harker, you sound like a Hallmark card."
"I was going for motivational. I saw it on a poster in the CMPD the last time I was arrested."
"Leave the motivational stuff to the ministers. You're built more for the magical killing."
I couldn't argue with her. I try to make it a point not to get in debates with celestial beings, even the ones who have lost their wings.